Does Jesus answer every prayer we pray? He promised he would. So why does that always happen?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to our podcast. I'm glad you're here for this one. It's going to be great. So if you would go ahead and subscribe on our YouTube channel, if you have not already, it helps us out. It helps you out because you get our podcasts that come out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. You get them in your channel. Yeah. And so, this is going to be a good one.
It's good.
Share this with your friend if you also think this is something that they need. So,
yeah. Our goal is always to talk about how do we lift up the truth and live out the truth.
Yeah.
So every one of our topics, we're not just choosing random matters. We're not just choosing what we think might get hits and likes and shares. We're looking for what is it that's the real stuff of faith and life. And so, I mean, you can't get more real than prayer, answering prayer, and life.
Yep. Exactly.
You can be in a lot of different places about a lot of doctrinal issues, but everybody across the denominational spectrum prays.
Yes.
And looks to have answers from heaven and has heard and knows a truth from Scripture that says that Jesus hears our prayer.
Yes.
And that he will answer our prayer. So we're going to look at that today because that's important. I mean, we got to figure this thing out. What happens? Because we all know we've read the verses that say this, but we've prayed and sometimes it didn't happen the way we thought it was going
to.
We didn't get the answer that we asked of Jesus.
Yeah.
So let's read a verse or a couple of verses from 1 John 5. We're going to camp out on this one and come back to it a couple of times. John says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." That's a big promise.
Yeah.
And he says, we have this in confidence.
Yeah.
This is not a maybe, a might. This would be a good thing to hold on to.
Yeah. Not just like a hope or, oh, I wish this, but it's confidence. It's no. And because we know this, then we do this. It's a very certain fact that he's telling.
Yeah. And this is written by John, who has spent time with Jesus.
Yeah.
So there's some credibility there to that. But the Gospels also record Jesus saying some similar things from Mark 11:24. "Therefore, I say to you," this is Jesus, "whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." That's a pretty bold promise as well. Gospel of Luke records something similar in chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. "I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." So you look at those, you hear those, and then every person starts running through a catalog in their mind of life. And replays moments where that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Some of them, maybe they were small things. Some of them very big things. We know, maybe we've been the person, but we know of people who prayed for healing to happen and it didn't happen. In fact, the person died. We prayed, or someone we know prayed for provision and it didn't come. People who prayed for a relationship to be healed and it wasn't. Or a longing that they had to be met and it wasn't. The prayer that they prayed was not answered.
Yeah, so there's like a very, you could say, delicate tension in the reality that we live in with these Bible verses that you know, the church says, hey, the Bible is the truth. You know, it is the way of life, and it does not contradict itself. It doesn't contradict reality, and we must come in line with the Bible. And then you hear this, and then you have your real life experiences, and there is a... there's a tension that people sometimes don't know.
Yeah.
What do I go with then?
Either
was I wrong? I don't feel like I was wrong. I don't think I was wrong. I feel like I did the things I was supposed to do. but the Bible says this and this didn't happen. So what in the world?
Yeah. I think this is where you get some of the deconstruction movement today. You get people who are like, okay, it's time to undo all this, tear it all down, rebuild it. Or you get people who just say, I'm out, I'm done. Yeah. I'm walking on this thing because that apparently was fairy tale. That apparently was not true.
Yeah.
And then there's another group that says, well, I'm not going to do any of that, but I'm really just going to stick to the basics of this whole thing.
Yeah.
And there's some, I don't know, maybe there's some beauty to some of that, I guess.
I guess.
I'm just not going to go into thinking about that because it's, I don't understand it. I'm just going to just, I'm just going to pray, worship God, go to church, and that's enough. That's enough for me. So
that's, and I think that's nice to try to live that way. And then you get into a situation where you're in critical need of God to move. And then you're faced again with the reality of what do I actually believe God can or will do? And what does he have to do with my prayers? And can things really change because of what I pray? And and so that's where it's essential and why we're doing this. We're talking about living him out, even into these areas of our prayers where it seems like this, how come for this person it wasn't answered? How come for me it wasn't answered? And does this mean my prayers are ineffective or what was the reason?
Yeah, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So I don't know that those approaches have to be the response. There is another way. And it's going to require some more work, more faith, more conversation, but that's where we're headed today because the pursuit is worth it at this point. What you're going to find on the other side of this is worth it. So let's start with where we often find ourselves that I think we can all relate to. We look at life, what's happening or has happened to us, and then we start to see, well, where does God fit into this? Here's my situation, my circumstance, my struggle, my pain, my loss. Now, where does God fit in this? And and what can he do for me? What do I need from him?
Yeah.
That's a perspective. And there's something that's right about that. God, I'm in a crisis. Help me. I need to see where you fit into this situation. I'm desperate. There's a place for that. But as we're going to see, that there's a place for that, but that's not the place we're supposed to stay. There is a place of greater faith than that, than just crying out in our desperation and wondering where he fits in. So you have situations in the Gospels with Jesus, for example, with Peter. Jesus calls Peter to come out and walk on the water, and Peter notices after a couple of steps that the wind is blowing, and he begins to sink. So here's what the scripture says in Matthew 14. When he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. So here is Peter. By the scripture's definition, he looked at his circumstances and asked where Jesus fits into this. Save me out of this. It says, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. Jesus meets us there. That's good. But then Jesus says, in this moment, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? A little bit of a little sting right there at the end of that. Here's your rescue with a side serving of sting with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you have another situation in Matthew where it's not just Peter, it's the disciples. They're all in a boat and a big storm comes up. And it says, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Jesus was asleep in that same boat. He's undisturbed by the storm. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. Here it is again. Here's my crisis. I'm crying out to you. We're perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? There it is again, that same phrase. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So there is a place for crying out to Jesus in a storm. There's a place for asking for him to rescue you, for seeing where does he fit in this moment because my life is just an absolute wreck. That's good. That's good. But there's also a place of greater faith where we start to look at not just life and God from our perspective, but we start looking at life and God and me from his perspective. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a complete shift. I've got to totally mm-hmm. zoom out of the moment. I have to turn the angle and look back at the situation from heaven's perspective, and I get a little bit different view if I do. So let's read again the passage from 1 John 5 in light of this, the need to make a shift. He says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. There's a shift that has to happen mm-hmm. in this passage where I start looking at the fact that God is the one who orchestrates all things, owns all things, has authority over all things, mm-hmm. and is good, and he wants me to have what he has. He yeah. wants me to experience heaven. He yeah. wants me to be able to experience his peace and his power and his hope mm-hmm. and his joy in my life. Now, I have to start there. Mm-hmm. I can't start with my crisis. I can't start with my life. I have to start with God mm-hmm. and what he actually wants mm-hmm. from me. And then the scripture says that the way that he gets those things to us is by making promises to us.
Yeah.
They are the highway, yeah. the pathway, the mm-hmm. conveyor belt, the pipeline, mm-hmm. whatever you want to use. They are the way that we experience his life through promises.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Peter writes about that, and he says that for us. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Here it is. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So he wants to pour out heaven for us. Mm-hmm. He wants us to experience all that he has for us. But I've got to make a shift in what's happening here. This is not me trying to do enough good things for God.
Yeah, exactly.
So that he'll do something for me.
Yeah, and it is totally like the scarcity and abundance mentality that we've been talking about in the last couple podcasts, because the scarcity mindset is I'm in a crisis and I need salvation right now. I need to be saved right now from this thing. And God, like, you know, God can give it to you.
Right.
But it's like, I need this now. But the abundance mentality is his spirit is in me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to ask for escape from the storms. Like in these situations, you know, the disciples right. and Peter, they call out like, I need saving instead of, hey, I need endurance. I need to go through this.
Yeah,
with you, you know, I need to be aware of your presence. I want, you know, and whenever you understand, all right, God has the preeminence, you know, Jesus is preeminent.
Yep.
God has ownership. He has authority, and it's, you know, everything is for his glory and yep. all those, whenever you are reminding yourselves of those yep. truths, then you are a lot more confident in going into situations rather than like, oh, I'm terrified. Things are just going to go so south so quick, mm-hmm. but instead, oh, I'm confident that whatever is going to come in my way,
mm-hmm.
the Spirit lives in me. The person of the Holy Spirit lives in me. And so his presence is with me. And so yep. I have his peace with me, and he is going to give me the strength to endure.
Yeah.
And he's given me promises to cling to. He has given them to me, not like
yeah.
I have to go and take and he, you know, he needs to give and I don't have, and you know, but I have an abundance of his presence, his peace, and his strength in me. And so now I can go and I can ask according to the promises that have been given, and I can have confidence in my life, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because honestly, and we all know this, mm-hmm. there are some storms I wanted to escape from. I didn't
yes.
get it.
Yes, yes, exactly.
I had to go through it.
Yes.
Because he wants to give us life. He wants to give us his promises. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's through the storm.
Yes.
And not by stopping the storm.
Yes.
Those are two powerful stories we just looked at, but
yeah.
Who knows what they were actually intended to be, you know,
mm-hmm.
before the disciples interrupted it
yeah.
and said, no, I need out. I need out mm-hmm. of this deal. So Again, we have to remember God is the creator. God is the source. God starts all things. God has authority over all things. And now I got to shift my perspective. So he's got something he's doing. He's got something he's about.
Yeah.
He's wanting to pour out heaven for us.
Yeah.
He's moved heaven for us already in the form of his son.
Mm-hmm.
He's wanting to bring heaven to earth for us. He's wanting to demonstrate his power. He actually wants us to see miracles happen in our life. He's wanting to do the unimaginable, the impossible. He's wanting to show his glory to us. He's wanting to radically change us. He's wanting to show us the grandeur of all that he has. He's wanting us to align our life with his, not him conform to us.
Yeah.
But I've got to make this shift in my mind. And if I do, then I can see what he's doing. And it's big. It's great. It's wondrous. He's wanting to show us what he's done for us. He wants to show us what he wants to do through us.
Yeah.
And all we're asking is for him to get us out of our latest jam.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Like, you have all of these great, powerful things that God is wanting to do that would change us and that shape us into looking more like him instead of him just trying to, you know, meet our next little gap that we have. Or, hey, I'm good all on my own. Uh-oh, I have a problem. I need to call on God, you know. But God wants to do so much more, so much that would change our lives and change the lives of those that are around us. And the way that we reduce, that we minimize his strength and ability, and we'll say things that, you know, oh, we can do this all on our own until we can't. And now we need to call on God, you know.
Yeah.
But from the get-go, it needs to be, I'm calling on God and his promises and his spirit in me, and I'm confident of these things, right?
Yeah, because he's moving, he's active, he's got a purpose, he has an agenda, he has an intentionality, and he is active and moving in that direction.
Yeah, exactly.
And here we are, not even paying attention to that, but kind of doing our own thing, going against it.
Yeah.
It's almost like when a couple sits down and they try to talk, and they're both talking different directions and not listening to each other.
Yes.
It's similar to that, but different.
Yeah.
Because God is the one to be listened to here.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're the ones often not listening to what he's saying, not believing the promises he's got. We're just preoccupied with the latest tragedy we're in.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing, like that's the beauty of the Bible, is that it shows us through human history of men and women who have called on him and held on to his promises that have not just like, oh, it just barely squeaked me by out of Alaska, but this has given me purpose. This is why I live now. This is now the course of my life, is to share the promise of salvation with others, with everyone. You know, that's what the Old Testament prophets were. They were saying, hey, there is coming a day of a Messiah that's going to come and bring salvation to everyone, you know, and just the same for us, we get to carry that promise to others, but you have the promises that carry you through your life already, you know? And so, you know, those promises are available for us today, and they have been given already, you know?
It's fascinating that God has chosen that approach, you know, it's through making promises to us that this is the way glory will come. This is the way his answers will come. This is the way life comes. He makes promises, and what it requires of us is absolute trust.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that.
Exactly.
In his promise and in him.
Yeah. And that's the thing, again, like we've talked about here recently at Vertical, is like God is asking, will you trust me with it?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But we often live our lives saying, this is all about me, and how much can I trust myself to have control over things? Again, the scarcity mindset.
Yep.
The mindset that seeks to just, let me just contain all the things that I have, rather than, oh, I've been given everything I can. I've been given every precious promise. I've been given exceedingly great and precious promises, and I've been given peace. I've been given reconciliation. I've been given mercy, and now I can give that to others as well, right? I've been given adoption. I'm now his son. And so to have the mentality that it's all about me is, again, the scarcity mindset. And whenever you say it's all about me, it will be all about, how can I escape pain? How can I escape discomfort? How can I escape any struggle, rather than endurance, rather than any ounce of like, I need to settle into this chaos and find God's peace in the midst of the chaos and be a testimony and a faithful witness to others that say, that's different.
Yeah.
How can you live like that, right? Yeah.
Because he's not an angry God looking for us to, or looking to punish us.
Yes.
He's
yes.
not an angry God looking to make your life miserable.
Mm-hmm.
He is a good and gracious God
yes.
who is actively looking for those who will trust him. And he's given us great promises to believe.
Yes.
It's a total mind shift, heart shift.
Yeah.
And it's the only way to understand these passages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's such a huge thing is to leave the mindset that is trying to escape from discomfort, that's trying to find ease, that's just trying to make life easier, but have the mindset that says, I'm going to endure where I am. I'm gonna endure hard moments. I'm going to find God even in this discomfort, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So then it brings back to our question again. How do I get to a place where I pray and then I get to see happen what actually happens?
Yeah.
What Jesus said should happen.
Yeah.
Where I pray and I have what I ask.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you get to that place? Because that's what he promised.
Yeah, exactly.
And this, again, now I've got to make my mind bow to the mind of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to make my mind bow to the mind of Christ in this deal.
Yeah.
Let's listen to it one more time.
Mm-hmm.
This is the confidence that we have in him. Absolute confidence. If we ask anything according to his will, now this is a key phrase, according to the promises that he's made, according to the purpose that he has, according to the stated words of his intention for us,
yeah.
if you will ask anything according to that, he hears us and we know that he hears us. And whatever we ask, we know that we have those petitions that we've asked of him. If you understand and make this shift, if you zoom out and look at life from his perspective and say, he's given me these promises, then I can have some absolute confidence that he will hear me and I will actually have that thing.
Yeah.
Your promise or his promise in your prayer will always be yes.
Yeah, exactly.
This is not just church pastor talk.
No.
This is real life Bible Jesus word talk.
Yep, exactly.
Think, well, what in the world are these promises
then?
I want to get in on this deal.
Exactly, yeah. Because again, it says that if we ask anything, that is anything, according to his will, his desire, his heart for us, according to his character,
yeah,
it says he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, and I think that's huge, if we know, if we are living in the way, not just like mentally know, but experientially, realistically know that he hears our prayers, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And it's that, again, we were talking about this a little bit beforehand, but sometimes if you just pray in your heart or you pray in your mind, it can sometimes feel like you're just processing information or processing your day, or you're just thinking through things in the lens of like, I'm talking to God. I'm thinking through this with the mindset of God. It can sometimes feel like, oh, does God even hear my prayers? Is he even like, am I just thinking things? Am I going crazy and thinking that like prayer actually is like, working or something? I think there's such a change whenever you go from like the mental prayer of like, I'm just thinking these thoughts in the context of if I were talking to God.
Mm-hmm.
If you change from the mental prayer to the verbal prayer, like, whew,
yeah.
there's some difference because there's a lot of things that you can think
right.
and feel like, wow, I'm just really, I'm getting after it. But whenever you start putting words to God, I pray that you would give me the endurance to withstand the storm.
Yep.
Whew, that's different than like, okay, I'm thinking, God, would you please give me the endurance to withstand the storm?
Right.
But whenever you start verbally saying, God, I'm praying you would break the strongholds that are in my household.
Yeah.
God, I'm praying that you would change this person's heart.
Yep.
With your own voice and your heart, and you're declaring, you're speaking it out.
Yes.
That's different.
It
is. And it requires faith. It's like, that's crazy.
Yes.
Prayer requires faith. Yes. You're putting your words out saying, God, I know you hear me.
Yep.
And if I know you hear me and I'm asking this according to your will, according to your desire, then Your word says whatever we ask,
yes,
you hear us.
Yes.
And you will answer it.
Yes.
What in the world?
That's faith.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And you speak it out loud. That's faith that turns into action at that,
yes,
point, at that moment.
And you go, that sounds, that would be, I might look a little weird if I'm like, hey, saying a prayer aloud.
You'll look doggone crazy.
Yes.
But God loves that kind of crazy.
Yes.
He exactly honors that kind of faith. In fact, he rushes to the side.
Yes.
The eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the whole earth.
Yeah.
Looking for those whose hearts are faithful,
yeah,
to him.
Yep.
He's looking for that.
Yes. It's easy to pray in your mind all day long. God, I pray you put people in my path that would need your love and all this stuff. But whenever you start vocalizing, God, I pray that you, yes, would, that you, God, would put people in my path that I can share your word with. You're going, all right, now that intimidates me a little bit. Yes, and it should, yeah, you know.
And saying, I'm praying and believing you will.
Yes,
that's,
exactly.
That's next, yeah, level.
That is the stuff that changes your prayer life.
Yep.
Because that is putting your faith into actions.
Yep.
So with all of that,
yeah,
now we're asking those questions. Okay, we've said, yeah, promises a whole lot. What,
yeah,
what are those promises that we need to start vocalizing?
Yeah, it's good. So here are some. These are some, but trust me, just some.
Some. Like
a very short list.
Yeah.
We know from Scripture that he has promised that if we will delight in his word, he will pour out blessing.
Yeah.
Psalm 1 says that.
Yeah.
It says we will be like a tree firmly planted by the rivers of water who brings forth its fruit in its season.
Yeah.
And whatever, yeah, he does will prosper.
Yeah.
That's a promise.
Yeah.
So we can pray that,
yeah,
believe that, and know there will be, yeah, reward from that.
Yeah.
I don't have to wonder. I don't, yeah, have to ask 15 times in, yeah, a day.
Mm-hmm.
I can ask it once. Yeah. I remember before I was a believer, I was in high school. I've told this story before, but I used to have to walk home, and it was a long way to my house.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, I knew there were houses where there were dogs. And I knew sometimes those dogs were loose. I was terrified. I didn't have any way to get, yeah, away except my own feet.
Yeah.
And again, this is before I was a believer, but I thought, well, if I pray all the way home and never stop praying, and just keep saying it fast enough, then it will keep me from having any dogs, yeah, chase me. So,
yeah,
I wore my brain out repeating some prayer.
Yeah.
There's no faith in that.
No. Oh, only in yourself.
And only in myself.
Only in what you can say.
If I can repeat it enough, then, yeah, it won't happen, is basically, yeah, what I thought.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, there's a God who I've got to do this for, so maybe he will cause it to not happen. There's no faith and there's no sense of love in that. There's no sense, no, of confidence in that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But confidence says, no, I know what you've promised already.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it one time and I'm going to believe it and I'm going to hold to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's faith.
Mm-hmm.
He's also promised that when we believe in him, have faith in him, he will give us a new heart, forgiveness of our sins, peace with him, and a new standing. If we believe in his son. Romans, yeah, 1:16-17 talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
We have faith. It makes us new. I don't have to pray every day to be saved. I pray once and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I will be saved. And I have, mm-hmm, a new standing at that point. I can also believe by the confidence of what we read in Romans 8:28 that he actually is working all things together for good in my life. I don't have to pray that he will. I can actually believe that he is.
Mm-hmm.
I can pray and ask him to show me, but I can stand in the confidence that he already is. It's a, mm-hmm, promise he's made. He's promised that we'll have comfort in our trials. In 2, yeah, Corinthians 1, he, yeah, talks about he has comfort that he gives us, that with the comfort he gives us, we might be able to comfort others also.
Mm-hmm. Again, interesting. It's not, he has given you escape from any hard thing in your life. No.
No.
But it says he'll give you endurance.
Yeah.
He will give you endurance.
He'll give you comfort in the trial.
And comfort, yes.
And I can pray for it and believe that I have, mm-hmm, it.
Yeah.
I don't have to keep praying it. I can pray, yeah, pray it and believe it.
Yep.
He's promised in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that I become a new creation, something that has not existed before. Mm-hmm. I am now made new. That's a promise. I rest in that. I don't have to pray for him to make me new every day. He has made me a new creation in Christ. In Ephesians 1, it talks about how he has promised us every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. They are ours. Mm-hmm. And They're ours in Christ. In fact, that means that any blessing that Jesus has, you and I actually have access to that same blessing. Mm. And he's looking for those who will believe that by faith. And see, this flips the whole script on this deal. I'm not just looking for where God fits in my life. Now, all of a sudden, I'm recognizing he has boatloads of promises he's made to me. And instead of ducking around him, believing he's angry at me, I need to get in the flow of the boatload, that's dumping stuff out and letting me get in the middle of it and believe it's there for me. He's promised that he will finish the work that he started in us. This is a promise. Yeah. He'll be faithful to complete it.
Yep.
He's promised peace when we pray and trust him, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. He's promised to supply our needs in Matthew 6, 33 and Philippians 4, 19. He's promised rest for our souls, Matthew 11, 28 and 30. He's promised abundant life for us in him. Yeah. You don't have to keep asking for that. You pray, believe it, and then watch for it to happen. Yeah,
exactly.
John 10, 10. He's promised that no one can snatch us out of his hand. John 10, 28. I rest in that. I stand in that. And I'm believing the promises in that. He's promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. Some of those promises are in the Matthew 28, some of the final words of Jesus. And he's promised that he will return for us. John 14. Mm-hmm. I can rest in those. I can pray in those. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. When you ask a prayer or pray and ask anything based on those promises, the answer is always going to be yes.
Yeah.
You're praying according to his purposes, his promises, his will. This is what John meant. Paul understood it. He said all the promises of God in Jesus are yes, and in him, amen.
So be it.
To the glory of God through us. Hey, that's a whole new way. This is a shift in our thinking about prayer. And an alignment of our ways with his ways so that we know what he wants.
Yeah, exactly. Again, it shifts the mindset from what hasn't happened yet or all these things that could go wrong or whatever. But to this is what God has said. This is sure. Mm-hmm. And I will understand what I'm unsure based on what I am sure.
Yeah,
you know?
It's true.
And so that's the mentality that we have. It's not like, oh, I wonder if God would actually answer. I wonder if he hears me. I wonder if this happens. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that he hears us, right? We know that he will answer. And if it's according to his promise, it is yes and it is amen. So be it. That's the confidence that we have. And so whenever you have that mentality, it just literally shifts everything. Whenever you have a confidence in your prayer, not like, well, maybe God will actually listen. Maybe if I've done enough, been good enough or thought enough or what, all of these things that can sway your confidence and the lies that they really are, whenever you're not looking at his promises, you won't be sure.
Yeah. Let's just take a very practical space.
Yeah.
For those who are married, if you're married, my guess is anybody's listening would say, I want my marriage really to reflect Jesus. I really want him to be the center of my marriage. That's awesome. That's a God desire put in you. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the promise from Scripture. That's his purpose as well. Mm-hmm. It's his desire that husbands love their wives like Christ loved the church, and that wives love their husband in the same way that the church loves Christ. That's his desire, that the church or that the gospel is seen in a relationship of a husband and wife. That's his purpose. That's his intent. So you can pray, God, I am confident that this is your purpose, that you want my marriage to look like the gospel, that you want it to be a picture of Jesus and the church. I'm praying that you will work in my marriage and believing you will. I think with that prayer alone, spoken in confidence and faith, you will start to see not only God move, but you'll start to see your heart change about the situation. And you will see God move because it's a promise he's made. You say, well, I've been praying that prayer for years. Well, then don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't give up.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep praying that prayer. Mm-hmm. Keep aligning with his word.
Yeah.
Keep believing these things. Because
I will say, it's not like, oh, I gotta pray this prayer because maybe God didn't hear me. Oh, maybe it hasn't, you know, maybe I wasn't right yet. Maybe whatever, you know, mm-hmm. You pray and you're reminding, you're still standing on the truth. It's not like, okay, maybe this time he'll hear me. No.
Right.
If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, you know, and continue on, but it's not, oh, I'm going to pray this again because maybe now he finds favor with me. I'm going to pray this again. And I'm kind of afraid that he might say no. You pray again and you're saying, God, I'm still standing on your word. This is still the truth. I haven't seen it come to pass, but I know that your word is settled in heaven. I know that your word is the one that is above every word, you know? And so I'm choosing to bring my will under your will. I'm choosing to take my thoughts captive under your thoughts, you know, under your mind. And this is the way that I want to live. Now I want to live in your way, in your design for my marriage, you know? It's like, you pray it again, not like he didn't hear you, but you pray it again in reminding yourself, and you pray it again saying, this is still my heart. This is still my heart. And God, I still trust you. And God, I still trust you. And you can still work in my life. And that's different.
Yeah. And I know some people are still going to say, well, I know some people who did all this, everything you're talking about, and he still didn't answer their prayer.
Yeah. And I say, yeah.
No, I get it. Yeah. This again is where we have to make the shift. Just don't make God make the shift.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Let's us shift and let's remember what we're dealing with here.
Because I will say, like, that mentality of, well, I know people who they've done this and it didn't work out for them.
Yep.
At that, are we saying, hey, we need to change this verse because these people didn't have the outcome that this verse says.
Yeah.
So according to their experience, temporary experience, we need to change the eternal word settled in heaven. Mm. What in the world? When does the temporary ever define eternal matters? Ooh, I mean, that right there, it's a hard pill to swallow. Again, we know people who have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and the answer didn't come.
Right.
What in the world? God, I thought you said. Yep. God, why?
Yep.
You know, I get that. Yep. And we know people like that. We're in the ministry. You see that happening.
We do.
You know, but that doesn't mean God didn't hear you.
Yep.
It doesn't mean you're a terrible sinner. It doesn't mean if you would have just confessed a little bit more, then God would have.
Yeah. Or
that's
that
not the case.
He's not going to keep his promises.
Yeah, exactly.
Because here's the deal. We are dealing with a God who is eternal. He is outside our time frame.
Yep.
He's outside our small little perspective that we have. Mm-hmm. And the Bible tells the story of people who had the same kind of faith we're talking about, greater faith than me. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 11, it lists those people who accomplished incredibly mighty things for the Lord. But at the end of 11, it says a list of some who did all these things in faith, and it didn't come to pass. And it tells us at the end of Hebrews 11, it says, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, in other words, we hear their story and we think, wow, that's awesome. They did not receive the promise. There it is. Mm-hmm. The circumstantial seems to be in a disagreement or a tension with the eternal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But here's what happens. The next word. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So here's God who is eternal, outside of my circumstance, outside of my even lifetime, and many, many other lifetimes. Mm-hmm. And here he is, Scripture saying, he did something in them. He gave them a promise. They believed the promise. They prayed. They fought. They lived. They suffered. They struggled. And they died, not having received the promise. But he has a plan that involves not just this next generation or the next generation or the next generation, but multiple generations down the road, he's going to use to connect them with us. Mm-hmm. And that is what he does. Mm-hmm. He does things in a different way than we do, and he always keeps his promises. It might not be in your lifetime. It might not be in your children or grandchildren's lifetime, But a promise made and a promise believed is a promise kept.
Yeah.
He will bring it to pass.
Yeah.
Having made perfect, not apart from the ones who originally made the faith step of belief.
That's so good.
It takes such a shift in us. That's why I said at the beginning, there's another way. Mm-hmm. It's a way of work and faith.
Mm-hmm.
But this seems to be what Jesus was wanting when he said, let's be more than just people of little faith.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you trust me? Why don't you get in line with the things that I have promised already? And they're good. They're rich. They're powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me any one of those. The answer will always, always be yes.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be in the way you thought, may not be in the time you thought, but it will come to pass because God is a promise keeper. So
it's good.
Hey, I get it. It's a shift for me. It's walking with the Lord as long as I have. I'm still learning promises and I'm still learning to shift my thoughts, my intentions, my affections, my emotions, my desires to align with his promises. But I'm finding when I do, I have much greater peace and I have a much greater focus and I actually start seeing the results happen because every promise in him is always yes and amen. So, good stuff.
So good.
Good shift. Good reminder for us all. It's necessary for us when it comes to subject prayer. So thanks for being with us today. Come join us in person at Vertical Church, Old Villa. God is moving. God is changing lives. And we'd love for you to come be a part of it. We're going to keep lifting him up and